Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared, teaching us that, having denied impiety and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and justly and piously in the present course of things, awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Then in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, page 1142. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared Jehovah spoke often one to another, and Jehovah observed it and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Jehovah and that thought upon his name. And they shall be unto me a peculiar treasure, saith Jehovah of hosts, in the day that I prepare. And just a few verses from the book of Revelation, chapter, beginning of chapter 2, verse 24, Revelation 2, verse 24, page 1490. But to you I say, the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I do not cast upon you any other burden, but what ye have, hold fast till I shall come. And chapter 3, verse 4, but thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, because they are worthy. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee out of the hour of trial which is about to come upon the whole habitable world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly, hold fast what thou hast, that no one take thy crown. And finally, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. And to continue with the theme of what we began in the previous occasion, faith, hope and love. This time I want to concentrate a little on the hope that is before us, because that's another aspect that should mark us as believers and as Christians in the present course of things. The hope that we have is something that I think is for our blessing and our encouragement and to help us as we're waiting for the Lord. And so Titus was given this word of encouragement of the God of grace, who has brought in something for us to take account of. This grace of God which carries with it salvation for all men. It's appeared in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If our hope is in anything but in Christ, our hope will be not bear any fruit in our lives, but hope in Christ is what gives the wondrous change and the important difference for those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus and know him as our Saviour. It's that we have a hope in him, a hope in a person, and we are waiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. These verses just express something that really is the longing of every believer, the longing of the author of that hymn that we sang at the outset, is the hope that filled the heart in that expectation of the return of the Lord Jesus and the appearing of him with all his glory. What will the sunshine of his glory prove? It will confirm to us the wonder of his love towards us, the wonder of all that he has won, the victory that he has won for us, and we will be confirmed in seeing that glory that is his and his forever. Well, then, what a hope it is that lies before us, the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This translation clearly makes it clear. We're just talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Saviour. What a great person he is. And that hope, is it the hope of everyone here? Have you got that hope in your hearts? It's available today by just coming to Jesus and having faith. Faith that we were speaking of this afternoon. Trust in him. Because he has died on the cross. He has given himself a ransom. That he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Well, I wanted to say a little bit about the effect of this hope that we have. And I'm challenged as to myself whether I really have allowed the hope that is in my heart to affect the way I am here in this present world. Faith, hope and love go on together. And I think the more we appreciate the blessing that there is in the way God has given us faith, the way he's given us hope, because it's a gift too. The hope that is in our hearts is something that God has given us. The riches of the glory of Christ, of the glory of his grace, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, something that's in us, something that's in our hearts. So I thought that just like the writer of Hebrews, when it came to faith, looked back at the Old Testament and gave examples of persons, I thought we could look back a little and see examples of persons who were waiting for the Lord Jesus. And I went on to Malachi. As many of you might know, I always like to look at the Old Testament because it often gives us a clue and something that is presented to us there of what God has set out as a pattern for us in our present day. And we can learn many lessons from the Old Testament. It's not a part of Scripture that should be ignored. It's there, many jewels, many treasures in the Old Testament to help reveal what the Lord Jesus has in mind for us today. And you might wonder about the way that he refers to us as a peculiar people. It's not a word and term perhaps we would use to describe ourselves. Maybe others observing us might think we're peculiar people. But it's come from the Old Testament, that expression. And it's used here in Malachi, a peculiar treasure. They shall be unto me a peculiar treasure. That thought of that word and that phrase is that special to God, special to the Lord Jesus, a people that are special to him, a special treasure, a special people. I think if you trace it through Scripture, that's the meaning of that phrase, a peculiar people. And Jesus is securing us for himself in that way. And as we put our hope and trust in him, we can be here like these that were found in Malachi. Malachi's day, we don't know much about him. It was about 400 years before Jesus was actually born. But there were a small group of people who were waiting for that moment when Jesus came into the world. They knew it had been prophesied. They knew the Old Testament scriptures that related to it. They feared God, and they were waiting. They were waiting for the Redeemer to come. And Malachi has to reprimand the vast majority of those that were alive at that time, of the Jews, because of the way that they'd just let things slip, the way they neglected the sacrifices, they neglected to bring offerings and tithes, they neglected God, they thought they could do without him, they thought that their way of bringing a sacrifice was okay, to just not bring the best of the flock, but to keep the best of the flock for themselves, and give what was lame and blind, etc., by way of sacrifice to God. And Malachi has to speak to them quite harshly about the state that they were in. And it's a word to us today. Do we truly appreciate what the Lord Jesus has done for us? Do we bring what we have by way of giving thanks and giving praise and giving worship in a way that is appropriate, like Abel's sacrifice was when he came to God. And it just brings me up in my tracks sometimes as to how much I appreciate the fullness of this redemption that has been secured for us in the finished work of Christ. Well, there are people here that feared Jehovah and spoke often one to another. And the hope that was in their heart caused them to get together and speak about it. And that simply is one of the features that I think should mark us as we have hope in our Lord Jesus, that we should be happy and glad as often as possible to speak together about him, together with one another. And our conversation, I'm not just thinking about a Sunday, I'm not thinking particularly of what we do together on a Lord's Day, but I'm thinking about what we might do together on other days in the week, what we might do together with believers that we meet in our working life and in our home life, whatever it might be. Are we happy and ready to speak with one another about the Lord Jesus, about his coming again? And do we share these things? God takes account of it. And Jehovah, it says, observed it and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Jehovah and that thought upon his name. So there's the speaking together, but there's also the thinking, which is something that's done in private. We'll perhaps say a little bit more about that in a moment. But these things are very real and practical. I've enjoyed in my own village at home finding Christians and being setting aside some time in the week to chat with them and mutually encourage one another. And I found great blessing from doing so. And I think it's a feature that should mark us. With hope in our hearts, it should be something that, dare I say, is infectious. And I believe it should draw us together to communicate something of that hope and what it does to us and how it makes us feel. And we'll find that God takes account of it and he appreciates it, and he has a book, his own book, in which it is recorded. And it says that they shall be unto me a peculiar treasure, something that he values, something that he appreciates. Those that are able today to speak to one another about his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he has done, will maybe be encouraged to know something of what hope can do in drawing us together to speak about these positive things. And we'd like to know how, when we meet, we'd like to know how we're getting on, but it's more important to be able to meet and speak about how we're getting on spiritually and how we're getting on in relation to the Lord's return and all those things too. And it should be part and parcel of our normal conversation with one another. Well, may something of the hope stir those thoughts within us that we might be helped. And if these people that feared one another, as I say, 400 years before the Lord Jesus was actually born, if you go back from today 400 years, wonder what people were speaking about 400 years ago. But there must have been some. And we know that the scriptures came to light and were in everybody's hands about 400 years ago. That's when the King James Version of the Bible was sort of, might say, mass produced and started to be distributed. People started to talk about the Lord Jesus. And then we know about 200 years ago there was a movement where people started to realize that the religious system was not perhaps meeting some of their spiritual needs and allowing them to appreciate the glories of what Christ had in mind and this peculiar treasure that there was for him, the peculiar people. And so we see that 400 years, it's a long time. And it can take a long time for things to develop and people to have understanding. But 400 years later, we come to some people in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 who are still talking to one another about the Lord Jesus coming. And I just wanted to touch very briefly on them because I think it illustrates something about the character of persons that have hope in their hearts and what it does and what it allows them to do. And we can perhaps learn from it for our own day of waiting for the Lord Jesus to come the second time. to those that are waiting for him. Well, I'm not going to read the scripture. I'll just refer to it myself to help me through. But we've got shepherds. I'm thinking of the moment after Jesus was born and laid in the manger. Luke presents to us a number of persons that were affected by that glorious event. There were shepherds watching. And that's a feature I think should mark us. If we have hope in our hearts as to the return of the Lord, we should be watching. Shepherds kept watch by night. And that's so much like the day we're living in. Are we keeping watch? Are we aware of what's going on around? Are we aware of the flock that needs help and protection? Are we working like these shepherds, keeping watch and waiting? It says that they were rewarded. They were abiding in the country without. But the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And what a message they received. They learnt that their Saviour had been born, who is Christ the Lord. They were told where they would find him and how they would find him, and that must have been a surprise too. They witnessed the multitude in the heavens praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good pleasure in men." And the shepherds, as a result of that, the hope that was in their hearts, I would suggest too, the faith that they had in their hearts was such that they immediately moved and they said, "Let us make our way now as far as Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass." They had no doubts that it had not happened. They came with haste and they found both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. What a joy that must have been to their hearts, that it was no longer faith, it was no longer hope. They saw it as an actuality, and it moved them, and they went out and made it known in the country about the thing that they had seen. So, the shepherds, they were one class of persons that our attention is drawn to. Then we have Mary and Joseph. It says in verse 19 that Mary kept all these things in her mind, pondering them in her heart. And I link that with those that were referred to at the end of Malachi, who thought on his name. Pondering things, that requires just our simple thoughts in our minds, and it's an attitude that should mark us, I believe, that as we have hope in our hearts in relation to the Lord Jesus, there's a lot to think on, there's a lot to ponder on, there's a lot to go over in our minds. Sometimes, before we can express a thought verbally with others, we have to think things through a little bit in our own minds and work it out for ourselves. And I think Mary was doing that. There was a lot happening that she pondered. It's referred to more than once in this chapter in Luke. Comes out later in the chapter, I think. His mother kept all these things in her heart. So that's another aspect. She pondered them in her, she kept them in her mind, pondered them in her heart. And that's the secret, isn't it? We take it to the heart, the core, our core, if you like, the core of our affections, and are they stirred within us as we have the hope of the Lord's return in our hearts. So she pondered them and kept them in her heart. And she must have done that many, many times as Jesus grew up, as he went through he's been 12 years old, we know a little bit about what happened there at the end of the chapter 2. But then all those hidden years, Mary must have pondered many things in her heart. But the result was that she was able to come out at the right moment and say, "Whatever he says to you, do." She had that knowledge about Jesus, about what he was able to do, what he could do, and what he would do. And that everything that he suggested would be absolutely perfect to do. And we know how that resulted in the water being turned to wine. So I think Mary benefited by pondering things in her heart. And there's a lot to be said for quiet inward reflection and pondering in the presence of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we will be rewarded by thoughts that will be for our blessing. Well, you've got Mary, who was occupied with that. Then the next thing that's recorded for us is that they, when 8 days were fulfilled, Jesus was taken to be circumcised. Now, I suggest that Joseph, as head of the house, was instrumental in making sure that they were obedient to the word of God, that everything that was done, that needed to be done according to the law, was done. And so they went for him to be circumcised. And it says, and when the days were fulfilled for their purifying according to the law, they brought the sacrifice. Again, obedience to God's law. They weren't well off. They couldn't bring what was prescribed, but they were able to bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. God, in his grace, made it available that they could fulfill that law even with the simplest of offerings. And it was done from the heart, and God took account of it, and it was just as much a treasure to him as what might have been a more expensive offering or sacrifice. But Joseph, I suggest, was one who was obedient to God's word, and he fulfilled that law. And that's another aspect that should mark us as our hearts are filled with hope, waiting for the Lord, obedience to the word. And the word, of course, is the Holy Scriptures, God's word to us, it's there. And we've thought about the way that we're purified. As Titus was, that we might to purify to himself a peculiar people. The washing of water by the word is one of the ways that the Lord Jesus purifies, nourishing and cherishing the church today, to present it to himself glorious. And you think about that. And this is obedience to the word of God, I think, is how that is going to be brought about. The hope that is in our heart is that we will be one day presented to him glorious. Well, Joseph, I think, gives us a clue as to that. Then you come to Simeon. What a wonderful example we have in Simeon. One who was filled with the Holy Spirit. One who was given a word that he would see Jesus. There was a hope in his heart. He knew that he was not going to die until he'd seen the Saviour of the world, that he should not see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And he knew that that was going to happen. It was a hope in his heart. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and on that particular day he came into the temple, just as his parents were bringing Jesus in. What a joy it was to his heart. And it says simply that he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now thou lettest thy servant, thy bondman go according to thy word. What struck me about Simeon was that it was something, that hope that he had, he was waiting for it. The moment that he received Jesus in his arms, that was it as far as he was concerned. He was satisfied. He was happy. He was filled with joy, and he was able to prophesy. And the things that he said as to the Lord Jesus are quite remarkable. And he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for revelation of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are put first, which always amazes me, and the glory of thy people Israel. That was Simeon's impression as he received Jesus into his arms. Well, Simeon, a man who was characterized like those people of old at the end of Malachi's prophecy. He was waiting. He was speaking often with others that he was waiting for that personal promise that had been given to him, the hope that he had to receive Jesus into his arms. He received him, and he was completely satisfied, you might say. He wanted nothing else. And I can tell you, if you've never received Jesus yourself personally, that if you do so, you will be satisfied and you will never want anything else. What a Saviour he is. And he can be, not only will you become a treasure to him, but he will be your treasure. Where your heart is, it says your treasure will be also. I think that's the right way around. Jesus will be your treasure, and you will be his treasure too. What a wonderful thing that is. Simeon knew something of it. And then finally, there's Anna mentioned in that passage. So I think we have five people mentioned, or if you class the shepherds as a class of people, you've got five persons mentioned who were waiting, and Anna, an old sister, far advanced in years, I would estimate, possibly over 100, and she was waiting. What does it say? She did not depart from the temple. She was serving night and day with fastings and prayers. Another characteristic that marks those who have hope in their hearts as to the Lord is that they are happy to serve Him and with fasting and prayers, indicating the intensity with which her service was carried out. And she, coming up the same hour, gave praise to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who waited for redemption in Jerusalem. What a testimony she rendered. What a service she rendered in the temple, departing not from the temple, it says, but what service she rendered. The hope in her heart resulted in that service. And it, again, it's a word to me. Does the hope that's in my heart lead me to serve the Lord Jesus in this way and to be able to speak to others about Him? Well, maybe just be encouraged as we look at some of these features. And I just read finally a few little excerpts from the book of Revelation, because it's really some closing words. The Lord Jesus personally addressing various assemblies, and we know that the last four assemblies that are addressed, they represent a group that are different from the previous three. There's certain characteristics that make them quite distinct. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. In every case, comes in a different position relative to the overcomer for the last four, emphasizing what the Spirit says to the assemblies is vital in these last days. But the last four, not to go into all the history of it, but they represent persons who are at the end, shall we say, of this current dispensation of grace, waiting for the Lord to come. And there are various different characteristics that mark Christians today. There are some that are caught up in systems that Thyatira would represent. And sometimes they're carried away by these systems and lose the joy of what God really has in mind for them. But it does say that as to the rest who are in Thyatira, that have not been swayed by the false doctrines and by the depths of Satan, it says, hold fast what you have till I come. And I just want to leave that simple thought. The hope that's in your heart, hold fast to it, and hold fast to all the truth that's associated with the Lord Jesus and with His words to us. Abide in Him and hold fast, because He will come. It is very soon. And that is the word to us today, to hold fast. The next assembly, Sardis, there's a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. They've purified themselves. And it says they shall walk with me in white. There's a promise to them too, because they are worthy. Let's be amongst those who are speaking often to one another about the Lord Jesus. What a purifying effect that has. Let us be occupied with the word. What a purifying effect that has, the washing of water by the word. May we be amongst those who have not defiled their garments. Philadelphia is the next one mentioned. And the Lord Jesus has a word for them, not too much by way of correction, shall we say, but he does point out that they've had a little power and they've kept my word. And because, it says where I read, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee out of the hour of trial, You know, I was talking to somebody not too long ago who was very, very concerned that the days of tribulation were on us already. Well, we have this promise, don't we? That the Lord Jesus will keep us out of the day of trial, of the real tribulation that's coming upon this world, so which is about to come, as it says, upon the whole habitable world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly. What a promise the Lord Jesus has given us. That I come quickly. Hold fast, what thou hast, that no one take thy crown. You know, Satan today would desire to rob us of what there is that we can enjoy and what there is that Lord Jesus has for us, that will be the reward that we may receive in the day to come. But hold fast, the word is here, hold fast again. And I just encourage us to hold fast, because the Lord's return is very, very near, and we don't want to miss out on any aspect of what the Lord Jesus would be saying to us, and what he might be encouraging us to appreciate and enjoy at the present time until he comes. Well, there's also a word to the overcomer. I haven't really got time to speak of that, but what I did want to finish with is his final words to those in Laodicea. It's interesting that just as in Malachi's day there was a falling away, there was almost a contempt of the holiness of God, that you find the Laodicean character is rife in Christianity today. Neither hot nor cold, lukewarm. Persons that have grown rich and say, I am rich and have need of nothing, think they have learnt all the doctrine, all the truth, and are in the fullness of it in such a way that there's no more room for improvement. Have need of nothing, and I trust there's no one here that feels like that. The Lord Jesus, there's more and more available to each one of us as we put our faith and hope in him. If we ever think we've exhausted the treasures that are available from him, we're sadly missing the point of what the scriptures open up to us. We're growing spiritually, we're to grow, we're to ever increase in stature. There's never any room for this type of attitude that was marked by those in Laodicea. So the Lord Jesus speaks quite harshly to them. He rebukes and disciplines as many as he loves. That's a wonderful statement. The Lord's love for them never changed. Their attitude towards him may have changed, but his love towards them never changed. And you can be sure that if ever the Lord Jesus has to rebuke us, it's done in love. But I just wanted to finish with the appeal. I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. What a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus, at the last possible moment, you might say, he knows he's coming. Well, he doesn't know exactly when. That's unknown only to the Father. But that time is very near. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. I come quickly is the response. Lord Jesus is quickly coming. But he has time to knock at your heart's door. So you might open it and let him in and sup with him. And he says, I've supped with him and he with me. What a wonderful prospect. Even you might say that as we might have fallen astray or let things slip, the Lord Jesus perseveres in wondrous love to bring us back to himself to a full enjoyment. And I would just encourage us that if the hope is burning bright in your heart, let Jesus in fully so you can enjoy something of his presence even now. And that's a wonderful blessing for every believer, that we don't have to wait for his coming to enjoy his presence. We can enjoy it. I'm sure it's in the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's something that he wants us to enjoy even now. You might say it's a glorious anticipation of what it'll be like in the day to come. Well, may the hope be something that has that positive effect with us, perhaps changing our lives a little in the way we do things, but more than anything, may it bring us closer to the Lord Jesus. For his name's sake. Amen.